What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford. I'm your host. And today we're talking about ministry burnout. You know, this is something that you guys wrote in and asked about. It is my life to a certain degree. And it's something that as a pastor, missionary, ministry worker, really, I mean, you could just say as a bivocational Christian, which all of you are, you're serving and working, and then you're also volunteering in church. And everyone listening to this podcast, that is true for you. Whether that means ministry full-time or part-time or bivocational or lay, there were multiple questions that came in just talking through, like, how do we protect against it? What are some warning signs of ministry burnout? And really, who's to blame? I mean, it would be nice to just say, well, I work at a ministry that uses me, and I don't actually pause and say, but wait a minute, do I actually contribute to the problem in some way? So today I hope to address all of those, and this will be a two-part series. So today's episode and next episode, we will work through not only the internal things that we need to consider in ministry burnout, but the external things, the things that are in our control and the things that are not in our control, but we can still try to shape them and influence them. But remember this, and I hope to encourage you with these words as we start. You're not inspired by lazy people. It's not true. None of you read a biography about someone who's lazy. Wow, look at them. They worked part-time their whole life. They worked at the grocery store bagging groceries part-time. Man, I want to live a life like that. None of you think that way. We are inspired by individuals who work hard, and that could be in sports, that could be in a vocation, that could be the single mom working three jobs to provide. Like, that is what inspires us. You're not inspired by a lazy person. The tasks that are worth doing are accomplished by people who are working hard. And I'll never forget one thing that Dr. MacArthur said that really had an impact on me, and we have been memorializing and giving thanks to the Lord for him. He has recently passed, and I know this podcast is not recent, but he has recently passed as I'm recording this. And one of the things he said is that the most fruitful people are often the hardest working. And that's what inspires you. Every hard task, let me rephrase that, every worthy task is a hard task. So we're recognizing that hard work is part of the equation of doing anything worthy. So of course you're going to get tired and be tempted to burn out. The answer is not to pursue easy, lame, uninspiring tasks. All of us could try to get on disability if we wanted to. All of us could try to work as minimally as possibly and live miserly to really focus on our own comfort and never stretch ourselves. But that is not the goal. Our goal is to be faithful, and the worthy tasks often take hard work. Spurgeon may have worked himself to death. It's unclear. If you read his autobiographies, you can see lectures to my students. There was a couple put out by Banner of Truth that I read years ago, and I was revisiting them yesterday, getting ready for today's episode. And he said, if you don't want to be full of regrets when you're obliged to lie still, work while you can. And he was a guy that worked a lot. And I think maybe he got Saturdays off. That was his time for a Sabbath. But he even did sermon prep on Saturday evening. So it wasn't like he was just chilling all day Saturday by the beach. Now, we could argue his health, and was his health commensurate related to his hard work? And I think it was. He died in his mid-50s. So there is something to be learned there. But note that if you do not wish to be full of regrets when you're obliged to lie still, then work while you can. I was watching a video yesterday with Michael Kruger and Dan Doriani, and they're both pastors, been in ministry a while, and they were giving their symptoms of someone who is about to burn out in ministry. They said sleeplessness, hyperwork, meaning they're just They're putting in long hours all the time. They're unprepared for a task. Their physical health is waning, for instance, gaining weight, just kind of looking disheveled overall. Red eyes. An interesting one is they're holding too tightly to ministry, and I'll bring that one up here in a second. Like, their ministry is their identity. It's core to their being. There's continual exhaustion. And I added a few others that they did not add, things that I've noticed both in others and in myself in the times when I'm tempted to be burned out. You start to resent the people that you're intending to minister, so you hide from them. And you get another call and you think, ugh, like, what do they want? You get a text message and you're like, can I just get 3 hours of peace in the evening? That's indicative that you're starting to get to that burnt out phase. You lack joy. And you begin to resent others that you're ministering alongside of. Well, you know, why don't they do this? Why am I the only one doing this? You know you're getting to that point whenever one of these or a few of these are starting to be true. You're tired, you're exhausted, your health is awful, you're clinging too tightly, you're resentful of the people you're serving, you're resentful of people you're working with. You're getting close and you really need to step back and begin to assess what is going on. It may not surprise you. There is a State of the Pastor report that Barna does, and they noted that basically right after COVID, this is in the volume 2 of State of the Pastor, that right after COVID, you know, pastors were dropping like flies. Their confidence in their own calling was at a low point. And over the past few years, it's actually increased. And that's both younger pastors, those under 45 and those over 45. So we know that COVID had its toll, which is part of the equation as well. I want to address like what contributes to ministry burnout here in a second, but external pressures and seasons of ministry do contribute to that, seasons of personal life. So it's probably not rocket science for you to see that, yeah, pastors were just getting chewed up and spit out during COVID. And if you were already on the brink of giving up, then COVID definitely pushed you over the edge there. So what are some hard issues? So think of a biblical counselor. I don't want to just make circumstantial observations, but as a biblical counselor, what goes into ministry burnout and what contributes to someone ministering for 56 years, as was the case of Dr. MacArthur, or someone ministering for 5 to 6 years and then dropping out of ministry? What goes into that? Well, let me give you a couple of things that happen internally whenever you're starting to be at your wit's end in ministry. First of all, let me start with fear of man. Your fear of man is driving you to say yes to everything. So you overcommit. And I hate to disappoint people. So when so-and-so invites me to their cousin's birthday party, I say, okay, yeah, we'll be there. Let me go buy a gift as well, and then we're going to spend an evening at your cousin's birthday party. You say yes to obligations in ministry that continue to accumulate, and you feel awful in ministry when someone says, hey, we missed you at the women's event last week. You just kind of crumble inside. Hey, we missed you at the men's prayer breakfast, and you're like, oh man, yeah, I know. Sometimes those are really passive aggressive comments that church folks don't, I don't know if they intend to lay guilt on you, but there's a level in which it's like, hey, I have a life, you know, I have a life and I have a personal life as well. So I love this church, but this church isn't the only thing that I have and this ministry isn't the only thing that I have going. So when someone says that and you crumble, you know, you struggle with fear of man. You know, when you overcommit to things and you're now bearing the burden of that long-term, you know that you struggle with fear of man. So think of that. Maybe that's a hard issue going on. If you're getting to the point where you're like, I think I'm burned out, Dr. Gifford, then I would say, okay, well, do you struggle with fear of man? Or second, do you struggle with control? You're not great at delegating. You have to have it done your way. You do have a team of people, but they're not being well utilized because you don't delegate to them. And when you don't delegate, you control it, you get frustrated, then you think, well, why is my team not helping me? And part of it's because you won't let them help you. Delegate, don't control, empower the teams. So this isn't an episode on how to empower teams, but if you're a controlling person, just know that you're going to get burnt out. You're going to be fearful and anxious. You're not going to be great at building teams, and you're going to try to control things that are not yours. So it's not really the ministry's fault if you're a controlling person. And it's not really the ministry's fault if you struggle with fear of man. And I'll be honest, out of those two, it's not really control that I want to control everything, but it's like I want to make everyone happy. And I understand the internal pressures when someone says, you didn't come to my birthday party. And I just feel, I feel that. it stings a little bit. It doesn't sting as much as it once did, but it does sting a little bit. Now, does that mean that there's always a heart issue? Some of you would be wondering that. Is there always a heart issue? Like you're always, no, that's not always the case, but I do think you're specifically susceptible in that way. What are other potential sources? Well, you might just have a hard boss, honestly. That you have a boss that they just lay it on you and they add and they add and they add. You might be at a season of life and ministry where you are not, this is not normal. COVID was not normal. You've lost a pastor, you've lost a ministry leader, and there's additional responsibilities for a season. Yes, okay. You had a team lead leave you. Okay, that's a season of life. That's why you're feeling so burned right now. Or consider this one, and this one is quite clandestine. That's the word I'm looking for, quite clandestine. Your home life is not a place of refreshment. So you have rebellious kids at home, or your marriage isn't doing great. Instead of your home being a reprieve for you, you're having to exhaust more emotional energy there as well. So you go to work tired, you come home tired, and keep compounding that. So I don't want to say everything's a heart issue. There are these other potential sources. So let's take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to pick up with things that are unique to ministry burnout. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. Man, I'm telling you, that's real stuff right there. And if you've ever felt like you were inching and inching and inching toward burnout, you know how heavy it gets. Appreciate Dr. Gifford for addressing it this week. And that's why I'm so thankful for everything Fortis offers to you through Fortis Plus, packed with hundreds of hours of audio and video content on biblical counseling, leadership, discipleship, manhood, womanhood, marriage, parenting, all centered on the sufficiency of God's Word, which Dr. Gifford was talking about earlier. And here's the thing, it's 100% free, not going to cost you a dime, no paywalls, no, give us your credit card and you get a free trial or anything like that. No, you get it right now and forever, absolutely free. All you have to do is go to your app store and search for Fortis Plus, or just go to fortisplus.org. And if you're thinking about the long game, maybe you're already a biblical counselor. Thank you for doing that. Or if you're thinking about becoming one, again, thank you for considering it. Let me put something on your radar that will help you become a stellar biblical counselor, and that is the Masters University. The Masters University, where Dr. Gifford himself is training the next generation of biblical counselors. They pair academic excellence with formation, and it's unapologetically biblical, training men and women to live the truth that they're learning. You can find out more about the Masters right now at masters.edu/transformed. And if transformed or anything that you've been finding in Fortis Plus has been helping you, has been growing you, I'd like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Everything we produce around here, we give away absolutely free. We want to strengthen Christians. We want to grow local churches all over the world, but we don't have corporate sponsors. What we have is you, men and women who say, look, this matters, and I believe it needs to be in more ears and in more places all over the world. So if you're already giving to your local church, which obviously that's where you start, that's your first priority. We tell you that all the time. If you're already doing that and you have margin to over and above join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be honored if you would prayerfully consider it. You can get more information right now about what it would look like in your life at fortisinstitute.org. That's fortisinstitute.org. Now let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. He's going to continue to walk through what contributes to ministry burnouts and how to guard against it. This is Transformed.
Welcome back to Transformed.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, in ministry burnout, as we've been discussing, we're saying that ministry burnout is part of pursuing worthy things. And if you're going to be a grocer, you know, a part-time bagger at your grocery store, you're probably going to have a lot of free time, but that's not necessarily a worthy calling. Yes, you can bag groceries to the glory of God, but worthy tasks take hard work. And that means you're going to get tired. So before we throw a pity party about ministry work overall, I think we just need to say, yeah, worthy tasks are tiring tasks. For sure. But here is a uniqueness to ministry and partly why it can be so seductive. And then we crash before we realize we're about to crash. It's because we love what we do. Certain jobs, when we clock out, it's done. Like, we're not thinking about it. We're not planning for it. I have many peers that when they clock out, it is done and their boss better not call them. Don't. Why are you calling me? There is no temptation to respond to an email. For many people, they don't even have their work email on their phone. But in ministry, it's not like that. Your boundaries in relationships are very interwoven with people that you're serving, with crises, with meetings, and so forth. So when you really like what you're doing, it's more than a 9-to-5. Now, instead of me saying, man, ministry is so hard, ministry is hard. It's challenging, but it's not without reward. It's still a rewarding way to serve the Lord. It's not the hardest. In all honesty, some of you know that I was an officer in the United States Army. And when I was away from my wife, you know, I think the longest Amber and I have been separated were probably closer to 2 months, so about 8 weeks. Oh no, 10 weeks in basic training. So 10 weeks basic training. That is the hardest for me. What's harder for me is actually being away from my family instead of being in a place where, you know, roles and ministry kind of blurs with personal life. So would I rather be a military officer who's gone for 9 to 12 months, or would I rather be in ministry? And the answer is in ministry any day, all the way, by the bay, for whatever pay, you know, like that's serious. So is ministry hard? Yeah, but it's not even the hardest that exists. There are challenges, but there's challenges in any leadership. So let's not make it ministry's fault. Let's do our best to be wise and faithful as we want to be faithful over a long season. A period of time, not just years, but decades, we'd like to be faithful. So let me give you some internal things to consider before you quit. I want to give you some internal things to say before you're like, man, this church is lame. These volunteers are lame. My pastors are lame. Everybody's lame. Be thinking through these. First of all, are you honest about your own limitations, or do you have an elevated view of what you're capable of? Some of us have an ambition that doesn't match our capacities. And yes, I am talking about myself. I'm learning this even as we speak. Pride can be a very seductive form of self-dependency. So I have to work on acknowledging my own finiteness. Pride makes us think we're more capable than we really are. And even though I want to be a yes man and I want to help everybody and I want to get every task done and be the leader and every... I also have to say I have limitations, and I just have certain capacity issues that the Lord has given to me. The Lord has identified that I have time limitations. Yes, I do. I have to sleep. The Lord has identified that I have energy limitations. The Lord has identified that I have financial limitations. I have to be honest about those. If this is not my full-time job, then I have other responsibilities. And many of you are lay ministers, so it's not your full-time job. Some of you are in full-time ministry and you're saying, even then, I cannot fund this ministry. I cannot provide for all of the expenses that this ministry has. So just be honest about those. Because if you're not, what happens over time is you contribute to the lack of refreshment, the idea of being burned out. Be honest about those. That doesn't mean you're a failure. You're not being a wimp. You're not in some way forfeiting stewardship there. You're not taking the talent and burying it, so to speak. Just be honest about your limitations, because pride actually makes you think you're capable of more than you really are. So that's the first. Be honest about your limitations, what you can and cannot do. Number two, don't quit. That is not your first option. Quitting is not an option. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. Let me read this verse for you, because I'm often reminded that stewards, this is 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, a steward, it's required that they be found faithful. Your goal is to be faithful, not necessarily to accomplish everything. That means that I may redefine my responsibilities. That's an option. I may leave a task undone. That is an option. I may not have time to get it done this week. That's an option. But quitting, just all out quitting without trying these things first, that is not an option. That makes me a quitter. And that means when times get hard, I'm a quitter. And guys, this is true in any realm, not to be specific only to ministry. So if quitting's not an option, then let's renew our mind with the truth that worthy things are exhausting. So let's be faithful. Let's do our best to renegotiate what we're doing and when we're available to do it. And then let's keep chopping. Don't quit. Don't quit. Be faithful. Renegotiate responsibilities. Leave your tasks undone, but do not quit. Don't quit. Hear me on that. By God's grace, stay faithful to the tasks that He's entrusted to you. Number one, be honest about your limitations. Number two, don't quit. Number three, establish better patterns of time management and capacity issues. Okay, let me give you two fundamental habits. And some of you have read the Heart and Habits book where I make a case for fundamental and less fundamental habits. But let me give you two fundamental habits that will make or break your spiritual burnout, your ministry burnout, your vocational ministry burnout. Number one, devotions are a must. Like these just happen. It's like saying, did you breathe today? Did you do your devotions? And if you did not have time for them, then you're too busy and you got too much going on and your priorities are off. You can carve out 30 minutes five times a week in the Word. That's your litmus test. So you want to take a spiritual pulse. Do you spend time in the Word for at least 30 minutes, 5 days a week? And if you're saying, yo, Dr. G, what should I study if I'm on the cusp of ministry burnout? Study the attributes of God. Remember 2 Corinthians 3:18, that's what this show is all about, talking about being transformed. But in particular, study the independence of God. God does not need you. Sounded like a Southern pastor. God does not need you. He doesn't need you. He chooses to use you in ministry. So you minister from a place of joy and freedom, recognizing that ultimately God doesn't need me. He chooses to use me. So in your devotions, study the independence of God and be refreshed by the idea that God will take care of it. He's using me, but God could also use someone else if I were not available. Okay, first, devotions. Second, the physical stewardship of your outer person. All right, now this is where you like, all right, go ahead, Gifford, give me your creatine spiel. No, like I'm not going to give you some routine. Biblically, we don't see that you have to walk or lift weights or ride a bike. There's none of that. But what I can say is that part of your stewardship is that you are going to prioritize exercise and rest, meaning sleep. Some individuals have extremely poor health in ministry, and it is a bad testimony to the gospel if a pastor is significantly obese. That is a bad testimony because it represents further areas of self-control and discipline. So you exercise and you're active in some way. Maybe you lift weights, maybe you run, maybe you bike, racquetball, whatever you want to do. And then you prioritize sleep. Personally, I have a goal of four times a week to lift weights, to walk. I don't run. I gave it up. Bad for my joints. Everything hurts when I'm done. But I try to do cardiovascular stuff, maybe ride a bike here or there or swim if I'm near a pool. Try to be active, exercising four times a week. And when I don't do that, I don't handle stress as well, and I don't handle pressure. I don't sleep as well. So rest and exercise are integral parts of staying refreshed for longevity in ministry. And if those wheels are falling off, you're not going to be able to handle the pressures of ministry well. And that could be said in other vocations as well. This isn't like rocket science. So you need to prioritize those physical habits of rest, exercise, and somewhat controlled nutrition. Don't become a psychopath about your nutrition, but you're doing your best to just regulate it, everything in moderation. And your body will tell you, and your doctor will tell you when things are not in moderation. So if those are falling out of whack, then you need to pause and reevaluate. So last statement for you, and then I'll pick up with this thought in part two. Remember this, God has given us the resources we need to honor Him in the circumstances we are in. God's given you all that you need to honor Him right now. But that doesn't mean that we're getting all of our tasks done. Maybe some of your tasks are not God's will for you to complete today. And that call's gonna have to wait, and that email's gonna have to wait. If you begin to see things like that, then I can be faithful. God's given me resources and capacities, and I'm going to operate within those. And that means that I can be faithful even if I don't get everything done. What a refreshing vision of the good life. I'm faithful, but I may not have gotten everything done. So let me stop here, and then we'll pick up with this thought in our next episode. Lord, thank you for the hard work of ministry that you've entrusted to us. Help us all to be individuals that are working hard for your glory, and may you keep us in the ministries that you've entrusted to us for a long time so that we could glorify you, depend on you, and serve others along the way. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.